Once again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 90. Again, this is a psalm of Moses, which makes it the oldest of the psalms. Throughout the psalm, Moses is speaking to God. There's two main divisions of the psalm, verses 1 through 11. He's speaking to God in meditation and praise. Doing so, he's speaking of the greatness of God. And in contrast to that, he speaks of the frailty and the need of man. He speaks of the uncertainty of man's life. So in the first 11 verses, it's Moses talking to God, about his people, and about life. And therefore, it's a psalm of great complexity and depth. Then the second part begins in verse 12 through the end of the psalm, and Moses is speaking to God in prayer. This morning, we gleaned from this psalm some principles for living life. Tonight we'd like to take the main thought from verse 12. So teach us to number our days. This is the first request that he makes, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now as you read that verse, you see that it's divided into two parts. There is the actual prayer request. So teach us to number our days. Then we have that word that. It gives us a division. And what follows is the reason for the request, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So from this verse, we see that Moses desired to live wisely. So he prayed to be taught of God concerning his days. Not his life, but each day. So our subject tonight is learning the skill of living wisely. Most, as we said this morning, do not possess the skill of living life. They do not possess the skill of living wisely. Most are not very good at living life. In fact, most are utter failures at living life. This is evidenced by the fact that the norm for life is emptiness and dissatisfaction and frustration. This is the norm. And chaos and unrest and dysfunction. Why are those things the norm? Because people don't know how to live. The norm is to wander in endless circles. The reason it's the norm is, again, because people do not know how to live. Throughout the path of life, there are strewn everywhere broken and shattered lives, broken and shattered homes, all declaring that man does not know how to live, that he's not very good at living life. So we want to look at these two parts of this 12th verse. We'll just spend a few minutes on the second part. But first of all, the prayer. It is a prayer to be taught. The second word is teach. Teach us. Talking to God. Educate us. Instruct us. Train us. Discipline us. Guide us. Enlighten us. Moses takes the position of the student, and he puts God in the position of the teacher. Again, most people do not know how to live, and most people do not take kindly instruction on how to live. But what this prayer teach us, first of all, is an admission of ignorance on the part of Moses. It's also an acknowledgement that God knows. So it's an acknowledgement of ignorance on man's part, an acknowledgement of God's knowledge. And Moses has a desire to be taught of God, a desire for God to be his teacher. That ought to always be our desire, that God be our teacher. We are to possess the Spirit, we are to possess the desire, this desire in every realm, in every aspect of our life, in every situation, in every circumstance, that God would teach us. In Psalm 25, if we turn there, Psalm 25, verse 4 and verse 5, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and thee do I wait all the day. Several words here that give us the definition of teaching. Show me. To teach is to show. Lead me. To teach is to lead. And we see that he waits on the Lord all the day. For what? To be taught. To be taught of God. Psalm 27, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. All through Psalm 119, we see over and over the psalmist praying to be taught. This was the desire, this was the spirit to be taught. Now notice the subject matter that Moses desired to be taught. Teach us to number our days. Now, that certainly cannot mean merely counting our days. Teach us to count our days. We're all able to do that. Nor does it have reference, as some commentators say, that God would show him how many days he had left. That goes against Scripture. How many days you and I have left is a closed book to you and I. We learn from Job 14:5 that the number of our days has already been determined. So much so that we cannot go beyond our determined time. We cannot go beyond how many months, how many days we have in this life. And the only one that knows that is God. And that's a closed book to you and I. It's not revealed to us. Not going to be revealed to us. So Moses is not praying that God reveal to him how much time he has left in this life. But he is praying for an understanding. Again, he's talked much in this psalm about the mortality of man, the frailty of man. And I believe he's praying that God would give him an understanding of his own mortality. I believe most people lack that understanding. We all know we're going to die. We're going to leave this life. We know that. But do we understand it? Very few do. Throughout the Word of God, life is presented as very brief. You think about in Scripture how life is measured, how life is counted. In places like Genesis chapter 5, it's measured by hundreds and hundreds of years. Psalm 90 and verse 10, it's brought down to 70 years. Quite a difference from hundreds. And we also read in verse 10, 80 years. Still quite a bit of difference. And then it is said in verse 10 that it is soon cut off. And we fly away. In Job 14 and verse 5, life is counted by months. And in Job 14, verse 1, it's counted by days. And it says there in Job 14, 1, that our days are few. So we've moved from hundreds of years to a few days. In Job 10, verse 20, are not my days few? And in Job 14, 6, our life is compared to a hireling, his day. What that's referring to is a work day. So now we're not even talking about a full day. We're talking about a part of a day. We're talking about a work day. In verse 10 of our text, even when life is spoken of in years, it's broken down to the days of our years. The days of our years. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, it's brought down to a moment. And in Psalm 39, verse 5, mine age is as nothing before thee. So no matter how you measure age, here's the conclusion. Life is short. Life is short. No matter how you measure it, count it by years, life is short. Count it by months, by days, by the moment, however you want to count it. You come to the same conclusion. Life is short. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, Paul said, the time is short. That is, it's brief, it's short-lived, it's fleeting. That's true in two respects in 1 Corinthians 7. It's true in reference to the Lord's return. It's also true concerning our own death, whichever comes first. Time is short, and it's getting shorter with each passing moment. When we were a child, time seemed to creep along. When we became a youth, it kind of walked along. We became an adult and it ran. And the older we get, it flies. And one day it'll be no more. Coming soon. It'll be no more. Life is frail. Life is short. And I believe that Moses is praying for an understanding of that. The fact that life is frail, that life is short, is illustrated and pictured throughout the Word of God. 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. There's but a step. We don't know when our last step will be taken. As far as we know, it's the next one. There's but a step between me and death. In Job 7, verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. A weaver's shuttle is very swift in motion. In a moment, it is thrown from one side of the web to the other. So it is with our life. Our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. In Job 7, verse 7, he says, "My life is wind." And in Psalm 78, 39, it's a wind that passeth away. And just a wind that passes by. In Job 7, verse 9, as the cloud that is consumed and vanisheth away, so is life. In Job 8, verse 9, our days upon earth are as a shadow. Very fleeting. He said in Job 14, 2, he fleeth like a shadow. Psalm 102, verse 11, my days, there it is again, broken down to days, are like a shadow. Job 9, verse 25, my days are swifter than a post. A post there speaking of a messenger, riding a horse, in a hurry. My days are swifter than a post. In Job 14, verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. Psalm 39, verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, as the width of a hand. That's our days. In Isaiah 38 and 12, Hezekiah says, mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Set up, taken down in short period of time. In Isaiah 40, verse 6, all flesh is as grass. 1 Peter 1, 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Not only is his life like grass, his beauty, his strength is like grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. James 4, verse 14, he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. One day, we will come to our last day. Could be today. We don't know. But one day, we will come to our last day. Doesn't matter how old you are right now. One day you will come to your last day. The youngest person here, this may be your last day, and the oldest person here may have many, many more days. We don't know. Whatever your age, whatever your condition, everything is moving to the end of earthly life. Everything's moving in that direction. Be sure of this, everything is moving toward your last day, toward our last day. And Moses is praying that God would give him a grip on this fact. My life is short. My life is fleeting away. In the psalm, he mentions in verse 3, we looked at this morning, thou turnest man to destruction or dust. You can do so ever so quickly. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. It can be swift and unexpected. And they are as they that sleep, talking about a brief time. And then in verse 5 and 6, we have the words flourisheth and cut down and withereth. And this is in the time between morning and evening. In the morning it flourisheth. In the evening it's cut down. Not much time between the morning and the evening. But that's how our life is pictured. Verse 9, we're told that we spend our years as a tale that is told, as a story. Doesn't take long to read a story. Doesn't take long to tell a story. And so it is with life. In verse 10, we see that we're soon cut off. and we fly away. What that means is we're here one moment and gone the next. Just fly away. Just like a bird. There one moment, you look the next, it's gone. It's flown away. So it is with life. Moses is praying that God would cause him to understand his own mortality. Man does not want to deal with his own mortality. He does not want to think about it. We've said many times, people always say, if something happens to me, what do you mean by that? You know what you mean. You mean, I'm going to die. But people can't bring themselves to say that. So I say, if something happens to me, and they always say, if. But guess what? What you're talking about, there's no if about it. It's coming. We're all going to come to our last day. But man is prone to think, we all do it, that we have many more days to come. We're prone to think that way. Moses is praying that God would not allow him to enter that mindset. And I have many more days left. Moses is praying that God would cause him to grasp the urgency of time. There is an urgency about time. The fact that our life is so brief, there's a sense of urgency when we understand that truth. It's utter foolishness to live life as if there were no end, because there is an end. And it's utter foolishness to live life as if there are no eternal consequences, because there are eternal consequences. So he's praying that God give him an understanding of a day, an understanding of his own mortality. He is also praying for an estimate of human life by the purposes in which it is to be applied. Teach us to number. Teach us to have a proper estimate of our days. The implication is that there is a certain and correct judgment that needs to be formed concerning a day, concerning our days. We must have a proper estimate and judgment concerning the purpose of a day. God has given me, God has given you X amount of days. Is there not a purpose in God giving us those days? Does a day have a purpose? It most certainly does. It is God that gives us the day. No doctor gives you another day. No hospital gives you another day. No machine gives you another day. It is God who gives the day. And the purpose and the object and the center and the highlight and the main feature of a day is to be God. That's the purpose of a day. The purpose of life, the purpose of the days that make up life, is not work. I mean, do you really believe that God has left you here just to work? The purpose of a day, the purpose of a life, is not just family. I'm not saying that these don't have a part. They most certainly do. But the purpose is not family. The purpose is not recreation. Again, these are all part of our days. It's not the purpose. The purpose of life is not entertainment. That comes as a shock to many. That's not the purpose of your life. That's not the reason God gave you another day. The purpose of our life is not even happiness or good times. They're all a part of our life, but the purpose of life, the object of life, the main feature of life, every single day is God. And I believe Moses is praying, Lord, teach me that. Teach me the purpose of every single day. The purpose is God. I am to live with Him having the preeminence every day. With Him being the priority, with Him being the emphasis and the focal point. With Him being the dominating factor, that is the purpose of man in this life. God. So that leads us to ask, are my todays about Him? What are my todays about? What is the main feature of my day? What are my days about? Every today that I have, I am to live with regard to the Lord, in behalf of the Lord. And I am to live that life with His throne and power established in my heart. That's to be so every day. Every day. Living in the light of His ownership, living in the light of His authority. Again, are my days about Him? Every day, I am to be committed and devoted to God. He's the purpose of every day. So personal examination is needed again. How much of the Lord is in our day? And if we're honest, most would have to say very little. Most would have to say he doesn't have a part at all. They go through a day without acknowledging God. They go through a day without thanking God, without talking to God. God has no place in their day. God gave them the day. God established the purpose of the day. And yet most have no thought of God. The purpose of every day is to glorify Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, and to worship Him. And I want to say this, if you do that, you've had a good day. Well, what if such and such happens? That's not the issue. The issue is that we fulfill our purpose, that we've glorified God. You know, much of what we say is a good day is really a bad day. We think if we've had a good time all day, that's a good day. Is that the purpose? Is that the main purpose that God gave you a day, was just to have a good time? I don't think so. But to glorify Him, to worship Him. So our day is to be lived in relation to Him. Again, begin with God. Every day that God gives me, I'm to become more determined for God. I'm to be more conscientious of God, more zealous, more passionate for God. The purpose of a day is Him. And Moses prays that the Lord would teach us to number our days, to understand the purpose of a day. Jesus is our example. John 4, verse 43, He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That was His purpose. That's our purpose as well, whether we realize it or not. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today, while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. You see the urgency. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. You and I, while I have the time, while God has given me life, I must do the works of him that sent me. There's a sense of urgency. Regardless of the day, God is the purpose. So he's praying that, Lord, teach me the purpose of the day. I believe he's also praying for realization of the importance and value of a day. A day. Teach us to number. Teach us to see the value and the importance of our days. Again, there is the implication that there is a certain and correct judgment that needs to be formed concerning a day. What does a day mean to us? What does it mean? What is our estimate of a day? Well, here we go, another day. What is our estimate of a day? Teach us to number our days. To properly number is to properly estimate. What is our estimate of a day? We need to examine how we approach something as important as a day. A day is pretty important. How do we approach something as important as a day? What do we do with something as important as a day? You and I that are saved are going to have lives for, if we're going to have lives for God, lives that are profitable, lives that are serviceable and influential and worthwhile, we have to recognize the importance of a day. We have to recognize the value of a day. What a gift, a day. We have to recognize the opportunity of a day. We don't take nearly all the opportunities that a day offers. I don't know if we've ever taken every opportunity that a day offers. Every day that God gives me and you, we have His precious Word. We have a table spread before us. And there is bread from heaven for us. I believe that's so every day. Every day I have the opportunity to draw near to God. Every day I have the opportunity to fellowship with Him. Every day I have the privilege to talk to God and take my burdens to the Lord. The opportunity to live in the enjoyment of the blessings of salvation, of the blessings of His love, His care, His grace, His mercy, His goodness. Every day I have the opportunity to enjoy His person. Every day. What a gift. Every day that I have, I can live in His light. I can live in His strength. I can experience His assuring and encouraging presence. I can live in His peace and His victory. Every single day, there's more for me spiritually every day. There's more knowledge. If God gives us another day, God gives us Monday, That day brings me the opportunity to learn something I didn't know today. It gives me the opportunity to obtain more knowledge. I'm talking spiritual. To have more faith. To have more peace. To have more power. More assurance. Greater experience of Him. Every day, I can advance spiritually. And I believe Moses is praying that God would teach him the significance of a day. The significance of a day. A day is far too important, far too valuable to misspend it. To exchange the spiritual for the material. What a waste of a day. To make that foolish trade. A day is far too important and valuable for me and you to drag yesterday's failures into today. That's what people do. They failed miserably yesterday, and they drag those miserable failures into the next day. Which gives more failures, and they drag that into the next day. And on and on and on it goes. But every day gives us a fresh start. How foolish to drag yesterday's failures and yesterday's miseries into today. Yet we do it all the time. Our lives are not determined by what happens on a day. That's not what determines our life. Our lives are not determined by the events of a today. Our lives are determined by what we do with the day that God's given us. That's what determines our lives. How foolish it is to be worrying about a tomorrow, spending my perhaps last day worrying about a tomorrow that I'm not going to see. That's foolish. Yet we do it all the time. Oh, may we pray with Moses, teach us to number our days. Our days are far too important, far too valuable, far too opportunistic to misinvest. How many days have we misinvested in our life? And many miss today because they're stuck in yesterday. They're stuck in yesterday. Some are stuck years and years back. And they can't live today because they're stuck way back then, back there. A misinvestment of a day. Maybe your last day and you misinvest it. You misspend it. You see, we're dangerously prone to forget the value of a day. Numbering our days is so important. We are prone to forget the value of a day and we allow them to slip away unnoticed. Another day has passed. And it means nothing. And then the next day is past. And people go through life never seeing the importance of a day. I believe Moses is praying that God show him the importance of a day. It's not just counting our days. It's making our days count for God. Anybody can count their days. It's not hard to figure out how many days you've lived. It's not hard to figure out how many minutes you've lived, how many seconds you've lived, but how much of it has really counted. That's what we need to be concerned about. We'll not correctly number our days unless the Lord teaches us. The Lord must be our teacher regarding our days. So we need to pray with Moses. Teach us to number our days. That brings us to the second point. Why? The reason for praying such. Notice that after the request, teach us to number our days, is that little word, that. Very important. That. A word that identifies the reason for praying. The reason for the request. It's also a word that identifies the desire of Moses in praying to be taught to number his days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may have a wise life, that we may live life wisely, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is greater than knowledge. The two go together, but wisdom is far more valuable than knowledge. Knowledge is only what one has received. It's the gathering, it's the retention of information, of truth. It's the reception of truth into our minds. But wisdom takes that truth and applies it to life. That's what Moses wants. Moses has been taught many things of God. He wants to apply those truths to his life. So he prays that God would teach him the value of a day, that I may live wisely. The implication is that if you don't understand the importance and the value of a day, you're not going to live a wise life. Your life is made up of days. You've got to understand the value of a day. So wisdom is truth applied to life. Moses prays to be taught so that he can live what he's been taught. Man is to seek wisdom. Proverbs makes it very clear. It's not riches that we're to seek. Riches will not make your life better. Wisdom will. It's not worldly honors. Worldly honors will not make your life more meaningful or better. Wisdom will. We're not to seek sinful pleasures. Or to desire wisdom. And from the book of James, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Because that leads or results in a productive life. It leads to a very useful life for God. Because that's what we're here for, is God. Leads to an influential life, a worthwhile life for God, a meaningful life for the Lord. I don't know why, but I read obituaries all the time. You can tell a lot from an obituary many times. Most people live wasted lives. Their life, it's sad. God has given us something as valuable as life, and most misspend it. Most have no idea how to live it. Teach us to number our days. We don't know how many more days we have. This may be the last one. We have no idea. But Peter said, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and that needs to be our spirit. I don't know how many days I have left. You don't know how many days you have left. But as long as I'm in this tabernacle, God's going to be my purpose for living. God's going to be my purpose for living. If you knew it was your last day, people ask that question often. If you knew it was your last day, what would you want to do? Your answer to that question says a lot. Really does. Well, I'd want to go see such and such. Really. If you knew it was your last day, the thing you ought to want to do is worship the Lord. I want to spend the day worshiping Him. That's what we're here for. Oh, the value of a day. We're, most of us here are older. As you get older, you start to realize a couple of things. One thing you start to realize is the value of a day. Hopefully. You start to realize that your days are coming to an end. I never thought about that as a youth. Didn't cross my mind. But as you get older, you can't help but think about it. Getting closer. But once again, whoever the youngest person here is, you may die before all of us. You may have the fewest amount of days. We don't know. Age has nothing to do with it. Health has nothing to do with it. Healthy people die all the time. You don't have to be sick to die. Comes like a flood. But oh, that we would realize the value of a day. One of the first things we ought to do every day is thank God for the day. You've given me another day. You want to talk about the long suffering of God? For God to give us another day? What if God were to sit up there and just count all the days we wasted? If he was like us, he'd say, why should I give you another one? You're going to waste it just like you did before. But God gives us another day. Teach us to number our days. What a valuable lesson we need to learn. We not only need to learn that about ourselves, we need to learn it about those who are around us. Those whom God has put in our lives. Don't act like they're going to be here forever. You don't know that. You don't know how long they're going to be here. They may be gone tomorrow. Don't let petty things destroy relationships. It may be your last day. We need to not only realize our own mortality, but we need to realize the mortality of one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. Is it worth spending our last, what could be our last day, arguing and fussing about a lot of things that don't matter? No, it's not worth it. All the value of a day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.